Hey, Ness.
Hey, Em.
So today we're going to talk about Weight Watchers. And I researched it this afternoon. And I feel like ever since then, it's just kind of like in the back of my mind. And I saw a post that Jessica Simpson made today. And I love Jessica Simpson, especially after her most recent book release, Open Book. It's really good.
Oh, I didn't know she released a book.
Oh, yeah. It was a while ago. It was like a number one hit, really. Very popular. Yeah. Great audiobook. And she posted a picture of her working out. And I was like, okay, interesting. There's always been a lot about Jessica Simpson's health and her weight in the news. In fact, after this, I Googled Jessica Simpson because I was trying to remember the name of her memoir. And the first suggested result was weight loss, which is so irritating.
Really?
Yeah, the first thing. Well, remember when she like wore that outfit and people were like, she's fat now. And like, remember that?
No. Okay. This is exactly what I'm talking about, Emily. We were talking about this earlier. My memory is horrible, like for just like events. Emily said she hasn't really noticed it, but I've been noticing it a lot lately. Like, I just like block things out of my memory, especially if they're not like super important. I feel like I just go like, I don't need that anymore.
That's it. Yeah. Well, that's because you're thinking of so many other and way more important things. I mean, this was definitely something you should have blocked out.
Okay.
But she was like on a treadmill in this Instagram post. And she was like, first day back at it, already hurting, feeling really dramatic while being sore. I've been craving this, but procrastinating, which I thought was really real. Like a lot of people struggle with that. Like they know they want to move their body, but there's all these other things that take priority. So a nice moment of realness from her. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, one workout, I'm determined not to let myself down, although I will be eating a brownie to give myself some points. And I was like, point. And then I instantly started like getting suspicious that she was on Weight Watchers or something.
Yeah.
Like immediately I was like, the points? And like nobody else really like made that call out in the comments. So I don't really think like it's about that. Of course, all the comments are like, don't get too skinny or, ooh, you're so little. All this like kind of really like fat phobic stuff. And it's, I'm just like really concerned that she's on Weight Watchers because she's now like a personal hero of mine after reading the book. So hopefully that's not happening, but I don't understand what she meant by that. Or maybe I'm just like reading into everything because I got so deep on my Weight Watchers research.
Yeah, you could be. And you know, Weight Watchers, especially after their rebrand, like they're really trying to fit the bill.
They're really trying to be trendy right now. And so yeah. I can't wait to tell everybody about this like reboot.
Okay, let's get into it. So, welcome to Wellness Myths. Today, we're talking about Weight Watchers. And for those of you that are not familiar with Weight Watchers, it's basically just Noom's grandmother. I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
Noom's grandmother. I love that. I love that. Noom's grandmother.
You know what? Like, Noom came out was like trying to act like they were doing something different, and they're not. They're just Weight Watchers in a different point system, basically.
Yeah, totally. And we made that comparison before, but like hearing you make that like maternal comparison really makes a lot of sense for me.
It's true. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Weight Watchers, basically what it is a point system. So you're assigned a certain number of total points for each day. And then foods are assigned points as well. So now in their rebrand, they've actually made some foods 0 points. So like fruits and veggies and things like that. And then higher calorie foods would be more points. Apparently, they have also rebranded that a little bit. And the points are not solely based on calories. They're based on saturated fats and other things too. But it is a point system. So a little history on Noom too. We'll just take it way back.
Did you mean to say Noom? I was like, wow, you're really going to go such
So a little history on Weight Watchers too, because it's been around for a really long time. And because of that, Emily's been wanting to do this Weight Watchers episode for a really long time. And for the longest time, I was like, Emily, we don't need to do Weight Watchers. It's irrelevant. Like, that's what people's parents and grandparents are
doing.
Yeah,
you're like, nobody does that. That's not our demographic.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm starting to see Weight Watchers. I mean, they're still out here changing and trying to rebrand. So they're definitely should still be on our radar. So Weight Watchers began in the 1960s. So the founder's name was Gene. And Gene was someone who tried everything to lose weight, including diet pills and hypnosis. And surprisingly enough, that did not work.
Wow. You know shit. No way.
So finally, Gene entered a 10-week weight loss program that was sponsored by the New York City Board of Health's Obesity Clinic. And she lost 20 pounds. So Jean was super excited about that, but she was dissatisfied with the lack of peer support she got during the program. So she started her own support group at her home. And this ultimately started Weight Watchers, which has grown to Weight Watchers has 4.6 million members worldwide today.
Wow, that's crazy to me. And can I interject just right here? It's so interesting, like this kind of the need that she was really fulfilling, it sounds like, is the need for a community. And so it's just interesting, like, that, you know, it's almost like we were talking about this a lot in last week's episode about cleanses. Like, could she have possibly found a community in a way that didn't include all of this harmful dieting? You know, right. It's just, it really gives you kind of pause and it's thought provoking.
Well, and Emily, I mean, maybe she could have, but Jean did pretty well. She ended up selling Weight Watchers to Heinz. Yes, the ketchup company, Heinz, in the late 1970s for $71 million.
Oh, wow. So let's say, yeah, she's probably chasing after a little bit more than community, I think.
Yeah, so old Jean, she was looking at the piggy bank as well.
She
but you know
was.
What? Good for her. $71 million. And that was in the 70s. So, I mean,
wow. I mean,
that's a ton of money now, but then too. So anyway, you know, now Weight Watchers is supported by really big celebrities like Oprah, possibly Jessica Simpson. That's still, we're still wondering about that. Always like going to be sleuthing around about that. But most recently, and I actually did not know this, but did you know that Weight Watchers changed their name?
No.
So I know I mentioned, you know, they've done this rebrand where, because at the very beginning, it really was just this point system and weighing yourself and tracking your food and keeping track of points. Well, it's still that, but they've added other components and there's different tiers of your membership with Weight Watchers, but they've partnered with Headspace, the meditation app, and Aptiv, which is a fitness app. So they're trying to be in the mindfulness game. And they actually started some stuff in 2004 to be like more mind-body connection, which is actually super ironic for like the whole premise of what they do. But they changed their name in 2018. So if you ever see WW, most people think Weight Watchers, but their new name is Wellness That Works.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
good to know. I mean, that's a good tip. If you're like out in the wild and you see that, just know it's really just Weight Watchers.
Yes, it is really just Weight Watchers in disguise. I think, you know, they're doing a valiant effort of trying to change that name, but I don't think Weight Watchers is ever going to go away. It's been around too long.
Totally.
But yeah, so they're really like trying to be these healthy lifestyle promoter and get into more of the trendy areas like mindfulness. Not that mindfulness is a trendy thing really, but it's become trendy recently. But it's just so interesting that they are doing that just because their whole premise is counting points. So another interesting thing that they introduced with their big rebrand in 2018 were rebound points. They are points that if you don't use during the day, you can use them a different day. So let's say you have or the way they market it is, let's say you have a family barbecue or a holiday or a birthday party, you can use less points one day and move those points to, let's say, Saturday when you're going to the birthday party so you can have some cake.
Oh, wow. So they just roll over.
Exactly. But they call them rebound points.
Wow. I wonder what the explanation is for that name even.
I don't know. It's very interesting. Oh, no. Maybe it is rollover points. You know what? I think I messed that up, you guys. I think it is rollover points. Interesting.
Okay. That makes more sense.
I need to read my notes a little bit better as I'm talking. I'm so sorry to our audience. It's actually rollover points. But if you ask me, I'm probably going to say rebound points because like, I've said that so many times at this point. It's like stuck in my head.
I think that's okay. Okay, interesting. So it's almost like, you know, everything that you're saying, it just reminds me of how much Weight Watchers really wants you to be out of your body and out of how your body's feeling and just get right into that mental, like, critical space of, okay, I'm going to eat this much food this day, and then the next day I will, you know, counteract it by eating more or less or something like that. And even like, you know, the point of like, yeah, obviously with this diet, you're trying to restrict as much as you can within the parameters that they're giving you. But it really leads me to also think that it could bleed into overeating as well. Like if you're at the end of your week and you have so many rebound points left and you're like, well, shit, like I should probably take these last points and spend them on, you know, whatever I want. And I feel like that's just really supportive of binge eating.
For sure. And I think that all in all, the point system is really reductive. And like you said, easily just the point system alone, not even these rollover points, could lead to overconsumption. There's 200 foods that are 0 points. So like I said, that's like fresh fruits and veggies and like lean meats. And there's a couple other things in that category. So the 0 point foods, I feel like even though they might be, you know, generally considered healthy foods, it could lead to overeating those foods and then undereating foods that provide really good nutrients, but might also have some points like nuts, for example.
Yeah, totally. That was my first thought as well. Like you're really, I know they say they're not doing this, but you are kind of holding one food group higher than the other if you're allowing yourself an unlimited amount of this. And then you've got to be super careful when it comes to like olive oil or walnuts or something like that. That tends to be super calorie dense.
And but also very nutrient dense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, it's really just this constant ask that you come out of your body and let this app decide for you what you should be eating, which is not nutrition education at all. It's really just restriction.
Well, and that's kind of the whole thing, too, is their whole tagline has always been you can eat whatever you want and still lose weight. Like you don't have to give up the foods you love. And so basically, you're not learning anything about, okay, what are these foods that are good and that are nourishing me? You're basically just learning what you need to eat less of.
So if someone is doing Weight Watchers or Wellness That Works, whatever new name they're trying to call themselves.
I can't believe you remembered that.
I know. It must like, be catchy. I think it's working.
I guess it is. Yeah, because I keep having to look at it on my screen.
Yeah, it really upsets me, that name. So I think that's why it like stuck in. So if you're engaging with this diet platform, what does a typical day look like for you when you interact with this app?
Yeah, so, you know, with their rebrand and things, they've added a lot of different things. But kind of the simplest version of it is you are assigned a total number of points for each day. And then basically all day, you just have to track your points, which is your food, and total your points for the day and make sure that you're not going over the amount of points that you're assigned.
Ugh, and think about how much effort that really takes, like the weighing, the tracking, anything that isn't a 0 point food.
Yeah, I know. Which, and also I want to bring this up really quick too. And this kind of was a big deal a couple years ago, but I feel like no one's talked about it in a while. So Weight Watchers also developed a Weight Watchers or Wellness That Works for kids, and it's called Curbo. And I mean, watch out Noom, because they actually use the same system as Noom does, that green, yellow, and red light foods. So I don't know if you listen to our Noom episode, we talk about how Noom keeps track of foods and they use this red light, green light, yellow light system, which is the same thing that Kerbo is using. And I find to be pretty insidious, especially using that with kids.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, talk about a fast track to an eating disorder, labeling foods in that hierarchical way.
Yeah. And it's really interesting, too, because I was searching around on the Wellness That Works Weight Watchers website, and they have this article on here, and it's how to teach kids to make good food choices. And it's like, it has all these notes like investigate and discuss, keep morals off the table, snack at home, give Kerbo a try. And when I go in and like read what's under those subtitles, basically, for example, like keep morals off the table, it's talking, you know, about, you know, we don't want to attach guilt or shame to any foods. But at the same time, they're marketing their program that's called Kerbo that is giving foods green, yellow, and red lights. So I don't really know how that doesn't compute for me.
Yeah, it makes absolutely zero sense. And I think that's why like a lot of people are really easy prey for this stuff, because people are starting to understand that diets don't work. And so these things are just really disguising themselves, even like at a level with children now, apparently. And not only is that really harmful for kids to be labeling foods in that way, it can be really harmful for adults too. And I saw a lot of that contradictory information on their main website as well, talking about, you know, we're not saying any foods are bad. That would be wrong. But they're telling you that you must limit them in some way and that it must fall within their parameters of what they deem to be an okay amount to eat. One line in the 0 point system section was like, now is not the time to start eating 4 bananas just because they're 0 points. And I just thought that was so interesting, especially like with bananas, like, okay. And I was laughing because I had a smoothie that was like only banana as the fruit today, and it probably had like 3 bananas in it. And like, you know, how often do I do that? I don't know, once a month. Not a big deal. I don't think about like over consuming bananas like that because I just had like more shit to think about every day. But, you know, it's like, it just points to how neurotic you can really become. Like, okay, now's not the time to start eating 4 bananas just because they're 0. But you still definitely want to be eating some bananas, but not too much, even though these points don't really count towards your end game. So if you did eat 4 bananas, it wouldn't really change our advice. Like, it's so, it doesn't even make any sense. They're trying to be like more lax about everything, but they're just contradicting themselves ultimately. And there's a lot of, once again, it goes back to what we were talking about last week about cleansing. It's like, a lot of their website is encouraging people to eat fruits and vegetables, but it's still like really packaged deeply in fat phobia. And could you learn all this information in a few sessions with a dietitian with zero side of fat shaming and weight focus? Like, what if you changed all of these habits and you didn't see weight loss, but you felt improvement? Weight Watchers would be like, oh, fail. And there's no room to like be feeling those other things, because even if they're saying, oh, we'll support you through that. Okay, but the data that you collect and the information that you give out and what you really support people in is intentional weight loss. And so, you know, it leaves people feeling like they weren't able to do it, or it's on them if they did not end up losing weight, even if they might feel better eating more fruits and vegetables on this app, whatever.
Problem arises too, in that, you know, people have to keep coming back to this program because it's not actually teaching them anything. They're maybe achieving weight loss and then they go back to eating how they were eating before, because who wants to keep track of points their whole life? And then they gain that weight right back. So they're not actually, you know, they're not doing anything great for their body, really.
No, except
they're
weight cycling.
Gaining and losing weight. Yeah.
Right. And in fact, it's actually a negative health indicator that has a lot more of a clear relationship than people being supposedly overweight. So there's been definitely quite a few studies done because, as you can guess, Weight Watchers has a lot of cash and they're able to use that to fund studies. And this is pretty normal. Like a lot of, you know, people fund studies that have to do with like their own wellness program or whatever. It feels really like, I don't know, icky to think about it. It's kind of like vegan people always say, like, oh, the beef people like fund these studies like that are obviously pro beef. You know, they're just paying people to kind of like affirm their bias. But even with Weight Watchers, so they did a study with the NHS in the UK. And this study concluded that a third of all patients who were referred to Weight Watchers through, apparently the NHS has a Weight Watchers referral system. And so a third of those people achieved greater than or equal to 5% weight loss. Okay. And basically, so Weight Watchers paid for this study and they were like, see, you know, 33% of people it worked for. Okay. But once again, this is really just beyond a 12-week period. Okay. Oh, this is not like, oh, what happened later down the line, which is really what we want to see. We want to see years later. And so, of course, there may be certain people that are able to keep the weight off, as they say, years later. And Weight Watchers is like, oh, we've got a study for that.
And Vanessa, how many people did you say do Weight Watchers again, right? 4.6 million members worldwide.
Ah, okay. So 4.6 million members. And this study's from 2016. So like even say they had like, you know, 3 million back then or something, right? So Weight Watchers funded another study that is basically like what they can rest their laurels on, saying that they have long-term results. And they took former Weight Watchers people who had maintained a weight loss that was above 9 kilograms, so like 20-ish pounds. And the amount of participants in the study was 4,786 out of millions of people. Okay. And if Weight Watchers could have found a larger sample size, I really think they probably would have, right? Because it, you know, makes them look better to have more and more people that have kept the weight off. You know, even the study itself is acknowledging that few people are successful in long-term weight loss maintenance. And before this study in Weight Watchers, long-term successful weight loss had not really been studied or proven. And they're saying like this study definitely proves it. They're saying, look, these 4,786 people have, you know, they consume lower calorie diets, they engage in more activity, there's frequent self-monitoring, all of this kind of stuff that they're saying like, yeah, this is what like makes it happen for them. You know, if something is 95% likely that you won't lose and keep the weight on, there is going to be that 5% that might have better luck with it for whatever reason. Everyone's body is really different, so there's no way to say. But it's just so funny that this is like this big success story when they have millions of app users, but yet the sample size is in the single thousands. So I thought that was really interesting that this was like some supposed to be some sort of great big success.
Super interesting.
And the final study that I wanted to bring up is a study that was done on the efficacy of commercial weight loss programs. And this was a systematic review. So there was a lot of data in here and a lot of different weight loss programs. They did Weight Watchers. They did Jenny Craig, Nutrisystem. I feel like that was like a really popular TV ad for some reason. Like there's like some song that's like playing around at the back of my head.
I remember that. And just like ladies dancing around with like plain half sleeve shirts on, like having the time of their lives.
What was that song? That's like, it's gonna be that.
It's like very upbeat. I can hear it, but I don't want to do it.
So I just found this study really interesting because Weight Watchers also kind of refers to this and is like, see, it works. But again, all these trials have a short duration of less than 12 months, which is not long term when we're looking at weight loss. We want to see like 5 years. So to me, it's like we can't really trust anything in this study because it was so short lived. But what I found super interesting was they kept saying we found limited evidence to evaluate adherence or harms for all programs. And so basically, I thought, okay, they never really measure for harm in weight loss studies, you know, like who developed an eating disorder or who has a negative relationship with food or exercise now, et cetera. And so basically, like, how they measured for harm is they just asked the people, like, so do you feel like this had any negative impact or harm or anything like that? And they were like, no, because I don't really think that, like, people feel super open talking about these deep body insecurities or insecurities that you may have with food. It's just not normally part of the conversation. And so I just found it really interesting. Like, after every section, they were like, oh, no harm was reported. No harm was reported. As if, like, we can all just go on these really restrictive diets. And also, too, that we're even aware of the harms that it might cause and that it would be immediate, right? It might be a way far away. I cannot tell you how many clients I have that say, oh, I had this diet, you know, when I was like a 10-year-old kid and it was sugar-free. And now I still have problems around sugar. You know, it took them like 20 years to come full circle and realize that. So I just thought it was really interesting that they continued to actually mention that this can be harmful, but also that nobody reported it at the same time. And that we took that as like, okay, yep, that's science.
Well, and I think especially if participants in these studies, you know, if they had success with Weight Watchers and their success was losing weight and that's what they set out to do, they're probably a little high on that at the moment. So, I mean, if you set a goal and you achieve it, you're kind of just eyes on the prize at that point and happy with that. With reaching that goal, you're not really thinking much beyond that. Like you said, I mean, it's kind of hard to see at the moment. I think a lot of people, if they're having, you know, some issues with foods or exercise, they don't notice till they get like a better look, a far away look at what they're doing. It's usually not immediate. You just feel like, oh, I'm doing these great health promoting activities.
Yeah, totally. And if it's really normalized among the people that you hang out with and in your circle, then you might not even realize, oh, there actually could be another way that doesn't involve, you know, all of this shame or restriction.
Mm-hmm.
So my last point here is there was like a little assessment on there that they ask you to do, really similar to Noom's, where they ask kind of like some basic questions about you to help you understand or help them understand how to gear the app. So they ask a lot of questions about wellness in general, which makes sense with their new name. They ask about sleep. They ask about preparedness, stress levels. And while that seems like, oh, that's good, it's like, well, it worries me because it just makes it that much more insidious and that much harder for people to like see through everything and be like, oh, this is a 5-minute meditation is not a substitute for like a therapist, right? Like if you're having stress issues, you have anxiety, depression, it's not a substitute for your psychiatrist, right? Losing weight is not going to solve all of these things, but all Weight Watchers helps you with is losing weight. So they're basically misrepresenting to me at that point. They're really misrepresenting like, oh, it's we're a weight loss app, but, you know, we'll throw in this 5-minute meditation here. And oh, here's a workout class. Well, that's not going to do anything to heal your relationship with food or relationship with yourself. And so the first question, there's two questions that really stood out. And the first one is, why do you want to lose weight? And the options were, you could like check any of these, to have more energy, to feel good in my body, to be able to physically do more, to take fewer medications, to have more confidence, to live longer, and to be healthy. And all of those things can be accomplished without losing weight or even just without a focus on weight and restriction in particular. I get why they want to make that correlation because that's how they make money and they clearly make a lot. But it made me upset to read that because I was thinking like, okay, you know, all of these things can be accomplished through health promoting behaviors that have nothing to do with this. So that made me sad for sure.
Well, and I think it's really interesting too, because Weight Watchers, the way things are set up is not actually, yes, they may be very successful in helping you lose weight because they're restricting your calories, but they're not actually helping you learn how to eat foods that are good for you and that are nourishing for your body. So it's kind of funny that they even include live longer, be healthier, because that's not what they're after.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, there's a lot of studies that show that people at higher BMIs, even though we know BMI is bullshit, but still, they show that people at higher BMIs do tend to have more longevity than people at lower. So it's sort of like, this doesn't even really make sense, because losing weight isn't not only necessary, but it sometimes can even be a negative to achieving these certain things. And also for reference, I put in that I was 5'3 and 115 pounds. I was just curious, like, if it would kind of flag that or be like, oh, you know, you're at a quote unquote normal BMI. And it didn't. It still was like, yeah, let's lose it, girl.
So yeah, that really bothered me. And then of course there was questions, you know, like, oh, what do you struggle with between meals, snacking, late night snacking, which, okay, now we're going to pathologize snacking, but you know, boredom eating, stress eating, this kind of stuff that really takes troubleshooting with your own anti-diet nutrition professional. This kind of stuff can take months, years to really uncover the root of. And so I felt like how you mentioned earlier, it was just really reductive. And, you know, their advice is going to stem from restriction rather than like, oh, maybe you are bored. Okay, let's explore that. What can you do instead? All those different things that we do in a session with an anti-diet nutrition professional is like not what you're getting from the Weight Watchers app. So I found it once again irresponsible that they would misrepresent that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's leave everybody with, I mean, I feel like we had quite a few cons to Weight Watchers or Wellness at Works, but let's sum it up with kind of our pros and cons of Weight Watchers. Obviously, we think that it's a little bit insidious. We're obviously not going to recommend it to anybody, but if weight loss is the only thing you're looking for, and you are not actually interested in getting healthier or nourishing your body, Weight Watchers is not a bad option for you.
And also, if you only want it to work, for like 12 months or less, if you want to just like slingshot right back to where you were, this is the app for you.
Mm-hmm. So if you're looking to lose weight and that's it, it could probably... might work in the short term. But I will say the good thing about Weight Watchers, you know, when looking at them versus some other diets or dieting plans, is they don't restrict any major food groups and there are no off-limit foods, which is good. And we don't see that a whole lot. Most diets are restricting, you know, sometimes a whole macronutrient. So they are at least not doing that.
Yeah, that definitely stuck out to me too as a positive. But it kind of reminds me like when we were at the peak pandemic, Trump was president, and I was reading a book about North Korea. And it was like making me feel really grateful that like we had what we had. I was like, oh, okay, we don't have to like, you know, eat our own feces to like gain back like nutrients. And then I was like, this is the bar, like this is the bar, like I'm gonna like have to use North Korea to like feel better about America, like is this really the comparison I want to draw? So it's like almost as though Weight Watchers is like not the absolute worst, but the bar is set really low for all of these apps. So it's like makes me feel like it's, you know, true. it's not the worst, but
Emily, we're supposed to be in the pros section. We haven't gotten the cons yet. We're being positive.
I have no pros. You're right. You're right. I do like that it doesn't restrict so heavily. And I do like that. No, I don't like that.
Okay. The other thing I will say that's good, although it's a bit insidious because they're trying to promote mindfulness while also undermining it, I'm glad they've, you know, partnered with Headspace so people can be a little bit more exposed to meditation and the fitness app. So they're incorporating more things than just food, which is good.
Yeah, that's so funny. That was literally what I was going to say that I liked. And then I was like, but there's that. So I was like, I think that can just like be put in the cons.
We'll put it in like the in between.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so cons, I mean, I don't even know if we need to really go over this because I think we've kind of covered it. Just a lot of insidious things. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to remember, you guys, that this is a big business. I mean, it sold for $71 million in the 1970s. So I cannot even imagine what it is worth today. And at the end of the day, I mean, they're just looking to make more money, which is, we live in a capitalist society. So, I mean, that's kind of what everyone is after. But just keep that in mind with these really big companies. I'm not sure if they actually have your best interest in mind.
Right. And that's partially why, you know, they're okay with you regaining the weight back that they help you lose, because that just means you're going to come back.
Exactly. And many people do. Yeah. And
many people do.
I would love to see the statistics on their repeat customers. I think it's pretty high. And it's just, it's not worth it doing that kind of yo-yo dieting. It's not worth it for your health. And it's not worth it for just like the psychological stress of that. So let's not do it.
You have just like way more important things to be thinking about and considering in your daily life than how much the granola you ate in the morning weighed.
Mm-hmm.